Yuri Geller, how are you?
I'm very well, Matt, and I hope everything is okay with you and your listeners.
If I just introduce you to my listeners at the moment, Yuri Geller is famous around the world for his mind-bending psychic powers. And you're the author of 16 bestsellers. That is quite a number of books you've written there. When was it that you wrote your first book, Yuri?
Well, my first book was called Uri Geller's My Story.
Right.
And we're going back almost 28 years ago. And then it was published in at least, I would say, 30 languages worldwide.
Did you translate all the languages?
Not myself, but the publishers have professional translators. But, of course, the content is the same.
Now, I've got loads of questions to be asking you. And when I found out that I was going to be interviewing you a couple of days ago, I thought, okay, now how am I going to approach this interview? Because your work spans for years. You've done so many wonderful things. So I've just thought, why don't we question some of your career, you know, talk about your career, but also let's talk about you as a person, Yuri Geller as a person, your likes and dislikes, okay? We'll start with your career. Now, you're on tour at the moment, aren't you? Am I right in saying
yes,
that?
Yes, I am on my British tour. As a matter of fact, I have one more show and that's it for the British tour.
On your tour, exactly what do you do? Because the people that don't know you could say, well, surely after, you know, one spoon's bent, that's it. But I mean, exactly what do you do on your tour? What's involved?
Well, what it involves, basically, is changing one's life to the better. Although I do tell to people to bring their broken watches and bring a spoon along, because I want to remind them, and they're all very curious, of what made Uri Geller famous.
Okay, so what do you, I mean, these, you know, loads of people come to these, but what do you say to all the professors and, like, the scholars who criticise your work, saying that it's mere psychology and it's not a gift that you personally own, you know, that anybody could do it? What do you say to those sorts of people?
Oh, I tell them two words and, you know, maybe you don't want to hear the words. But I will.
Not on radio, Uri, not on radio.
Not on radio, but I'll tell you what, how about allowing me to say gentle words like bullshit?
Okay.
So that's what I say to them.
Yeah, that's sort of gentle, right?
You know, Matt, in a very bizarre way, they have actually the minority, because they are a minority, the critics, they have fueled the wheel of publicity around Uri Geller. They're almost like my unpaid publicists.
Yeah.
Because throughout the years, they all try to catch me out. But it really only boosted my career rather than brought me down, because
but in a bit of an infamous way, though, rather than, you know,
not really, because the skeptics actually, what can I tell you, anything controversial makes an individual more interesting.
But I mean, sometimes your powers fail you. What do you say to the people that witness you fail something?
I just tell them I'm just another human being, sorry, right. And I have failed in the past on television and on shows, and it didn't work.
Can you tell? I mean, because you can sort of predict. I mean, can you predict when you're going to have a bad day?
Matt, I'll tell you, it really depends on how I feel and the circumstances. It could be that I'm jet-lagged. It could be that I'm tired.
Right.
It could be that these powers fail me because there's a higher reason for them not to work. It could be some kind of a universal law. It's beyond my understanding.
Okay. Does anyone else in your family have, like, the gift of being able to bend metal?
No, not really. My children are very telepathic, that's for sure. But the metal bending thing, the phenomenon is so bizarre and it's so unusually odd, because I tell people, look, we can all learn this, we can all do it, we can all activate the powers of the mind, but when it comes to metal bending, spoon bending, sometimes children can duplicate what I do.
Right.
But then, you see, if everyone could do it, I wouldn't be talking to you.
You'd be out of a job, wouldn't you?
I wouldn't be Uri Geller.
So
it's rather unique.
Right. I mean, being unique and, you know, not having in your family before, how did you break it to your parents, you know, your family, that you were going to become a spoon bender and a psychic rather than a doctor or a lawyer? I mean,
well, look, Matt, when I say that it's rather unique, most of the times I say that I'm not unique, but then the certain elements in my career are unique.
Mm.
I discovered it when I was 4 years old. I was eating soup in my mother's kitchen, and the spoon started bending, and it actually cracked and broke in half.
Now did that scare you? I mean,
no, of course not.
Really? I mean, because you've got these powers. I mean, they're obviously very, very powerful. I mean, does that not scare you at all? Or at the time, did it not scare you?
At the time, it did not scare me because I was only 4 years old, and what can I understand at that age? But I'll tell you also why it didn't scare me, because I thought that it was a natural talent. I thought that all the children can do it. And I was then surprised in school when I was bullied in school, and I was considered a freak. That's when I started worrying a little about my powers. And I don't know if you know this, Matt, but my mother is related to Sigmund Freud.
Your mother actually thinks that you've inherited some of your powers from Sigmund Freud. But I mean, now I could be wrong here, but Sigmund Freud, I mean, obviously, you know, he worked greatly with minds and, you know, and the psychology of people, but he can never bend spoons, he can never actually read people's minds. So exactly what have you inherited from your ancestor?
I don't think I did. My mother thinks so.
You're going against your mother, right? Okay, so you don't think you have inherited anything?
No, Matt, can I just slow you down and stop you for one moment?
Yeah, go on.
Do you know that you're a bloody good interviewer? Did anyone ever tell you that?
Well, thank you very, very much.
I don't know if you're a professional or an amateur.
Well, I'm a trainee.
But you're very, very good. I've been interviewed by, I would say, thousands of presenters worldwide.
Yeah.
And your questions and the natural way you ask them and the way your words flow out of your mouth are very, very professional. So I congratulate you for being such a good interviewer.
Thank you very, very much for that. I've got loads of questions here for you that I've asked many people. I've even asked a rabbi. And she wants to ask you, do you feel that your work is spiritual or in some way influenced by God?
Well, I definitely would like to believe that it's influenced by God, because I'm a religious man. Yes, I'm Jewish, but I believe in all religions. I respect all religions.
Of course.
I also want to believe that my powers, maybe they are a gift rather than an acquired trait from my ancestors or something that was triggered in my mind when I was a child. Many people ask me if I consider it a curse or a blessing, and of course I consider it a blessing.
Yeah.
So I would like to believe that there is a profound, godly intervention with my powers.
Right. We've got some throwaway questions here. Again, because I said, Jana, I want to talk about your career and about you, but also just about general things that you think of modern day. Spice Girls. You know, what's your favourite Spice Girl? They've been around for a couple of years.
I think all of them are great, really. I mean, they sought me when they were starting with their career.
Right.
And I bent a spoon for them, and I told them, look, take this spoon with you to the United States, and you will be number one.
Wow.
And they have.
And they have been, yeah.
Yeah, they're all fantastic. Also, NSYNC, in America, they're huge.
Oh, they are huge, yeah.
I mean, I think they turned over $1 billion. And I met them, and I motivated them. I inspired them. I taught them about positivity. And then I drew a logo for them. And I told them to use that logo
on
their first CD, and they'll be number one. And they have, and they thanked me a million times.
Also, I mean, on the subject of music, Michael Jackson, last year was your best man at your wedding.
Yeah, exactly a year ago.
Explain when you first met Michael, and what was it like?
Well, first of all, let me tell you how Michael heard about me. He always wanted to see a spoon bending or meet Uri Geller.
Well, as anybody would.
About 6 years ago, I was together with Mohammed Al-Fayed, and Michael called out of the blue from New York, and Mohammed said to Michael, "Michael, guess who is sitting next to me? It's Uri Geller." And I heard, "Uri Geller," and I got on the phone, and we just, I don't know, we befriended each other over the phone. Then I flew to New York on one of my presentations, and I went up to his hotel room, and we met, and we became very close friends.
So how often do you actually speak to him now?
Well, believe it or not, I spoke to him yesterday.
What did he say?
We talk about, I'm planning to open some doors for him in NASA, because his dream is to walk on the moon. Now, it sounds impossible, but if we don't try, we'll never know.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe 5 years from now or 9 years from now, there will be shuttles going to the moon.
Right.
So since my friend Edgar Mitchell walked on the moon, maybe he can help us. And if it's not going to work from the American side, we'll approach the Russian side.
Okay, moving on. What was the last thing you saw at the cinema, Uri?
I went to see The Matrix again.
Oh, now that's a bit of a lover of yours, isn't it?
It is.
With the spoon.
Yep, exactly. And I wanted to understand it again, because, you know, they're finishing now The Matrix 2.
Yeah, which will be out later this year.
And I never did understand the movie fully, to be very honest with you. No. It has so many multiple dimensions and angles. So I just went to see it again. And I love, of course, that spoon bending sequence, which was inspired by me.
Were you credited at all? Or did anybody tell you that was your
job? Yeah, well, come on. I mean, I was the only person that brought spoon bending into the world. Before I appeared on the scene, there was nothing like it. And this is why I guess I astonished so many people, because, you see, the spoon bending is rather trivial. It's almost like a party trick. It's not really, but I was astonished how people reacted to it when I was a young kid. And then when I first demonstrated it in a small party, that's when I realized, I said to myself, my gosh, I could really make a career of this.
Well, Uri, I have a spoon with me. Would you be able to bend it over the...
I wish I could. It doesn't work like
you
that.
Because I've read stories about you being able to bend things without even touching them.
And that does happen, but it happens with a large audience when, for instance, in my shows, every time I do the spoon bending, I ask people to pull out their house keys, and many keys bend. Right. As a matter of fact, I travel with a hammer. To hammer the keys,
get into a lot of trouble otherwise.
And by the way, if you are listeners now listening to us, if you do have a broken watch or a broken clock, wind it up and just will it to work. Say 1, 2, 3, work. 1, 2, 3, work. And if it does come alive, do let Matt know. Or if a spoon moves on your television or in your radio set or in your computer, let us know.
And then I'll get in contact with Uri and I'll
exactly.
tell you. Can you bend liquids as well as solids?
That's a very, very good question. I've tried in the past, especially mercury. Some people who tested me want to believe that I can do it, but I certainly cannot do it on command. I cannot walk into my kitchen, open the tap, and bend the liquid water. I wish I could, because that would be a wonderful experiment.
I mean, I presume you would try and visualize it in a different way to try and warp, you know, a liquid rather than a solid.
That's right. I might really try to do it. That's a good idea, maybe to restart that old experiments that I was conducting years and years ago.
It would be good. The new Uri, you know.
Yeah.
Whose mind would you most like to read, and why? If you could read, you know, someone's mind. Who's?
That's a very good question. I never thought of that. But let me see whose mind I would like to read. Well, definitely I would like to read Yasser Arafat's mind at this stage, because I want to create world peace. I want to create a long-lasting peace in the Middle East, and I would like to know what he's really thinking about. So that's the answer.
Yeah. Obviously, well known for bending your spoons. Can you play the spoons? Can you make
No, but I've seen people play the spoons, and I loved it, and they always kept away from me.
That's your next hobby.
You know, when we talked about all, you bring up all the spoons, it's how interesting how I brought the spoon bending into mainstream, like, you know, Michael Spiker has been lately a lot in the news.
Yeah.
And I mentioned in a few big songs, like the band Incubus. They just came out with a big hit called Nice to Know You, and they sing better than watching Geller bending silver spoons. So I'm really flattered that after all these years...
People are still honoring you in their songs.
Exactly.
Amazing.
And these are huge bands. I mean, Incubus are massive.
Yeah. You can spend loads of money every year on cutlery. I mean, how many pieces of cutlery do you think you go through every year? How much money do you think you spend?
Well, I always get cutlery as a gift whenever I appear on television, and I tell them, look, if I bend a spoon, will you bring 50 spoons? And the deal is that I take 49 home.
Right.
so I always have enough spoons.
So you don't have any, like, discount deal with some sort of shop that sells spoons?
No. But remember, most of my important spoons are riveted to my car. Did you know that?
Yes, I've seen the Cadillac, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amazing. And that was on show as well, wasn't it, a couple of years back?
Yes.
Got two more questions for you. Teaspoons and tablespoons, or to put it in other words, lighter objects, heavier objects, is there a difference when you're bending them, or is it because you're not using actual physical power, it doesn't matter?
Good question, Matt. Psychologically, I believe there is a difference.
Right.
If it's a coffee spoon or a teaspoon, it's easier for me to bend because psychologically I know that it's thinner.
Right.
It's smaller. Mm-hmm. The bigger the spoon, the bigger the object, is more difficult for me. It's more a challenge.
Right. What's a mini Geller? Something about you sort of put your power onto people when they come and see you.
No, mini Gellers are the children who actually learned how to bend spoons after seeing me on television,
right,
or hearing me on radio or on a stage. They were called mini Gellers.
And can that still happen?
Oh, yeah. I mean, in this tour, I had dozens and dozens of kids on the stage, and many of them could just bend spoons.
But will they be able to carry that on?
No, it ebbs away, and that's why I guess I'm still around.
So and I suppose that sort of means you've got your inner child in you.
Very much so.
Okay, well, for a final thought then, you've done numerous amounts for charity, you've done amazing things for science, and, you know, magicians have been stunned by you over the years. Millions of people have been amazed by your powers. But how would you say you've contributed to the good of mankind?
By opening doors of their minds, of their inner souls, to show them that there is a spirit.
Right.
I open doors towards the path that not only leads you to the paranormal, but to spirituality.
Right.
I think that is the right word, spirituality. And that's it, Matt, and my love to you all, and God bless you all, and I will pray for you all.
Thank you very much. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Much love to you.
Take care of yourself.
Bye, Matt.
Bye-bye.